There we go. And hi, Paige.
Hi, Paige.
And happy Sunday. Yes, happy Sunday. And today, you know what? I'm going to grab a handout if there's a handout available any place, because I didn't put down the pages because I ran out of time totally. But it's no, here, Tiffany. No, that's okay, Tiffany. Thank you. Thank you. We are in the book of Ruth, and we're in the fourth chapter, and the date is August 21st, which reminds me, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Bobby, tomorrow, to you. Diane wants to know, where's the cake?
At
Smitty's? Well, there ain't no Smitty's. Yeah.
Smitty's a la Kroger.
Right. No, no. But, okay, we are in what the law didn't allow, God's grace allowed, and under immersed kingdoms. So, it's morning. It's morning. And following the night of what?
Scandal.
Huh? What'd you say?
Scandal.
Scandal. No, it wasn't scandalous. It wasn't provocative in any way. But here, what's the word I'm looking for, you guys? I mean, that's a loaded question. Following the night of threshing. Threshing, because where was Ruth in chapter 3?
She was threshing.
Well, no, Boaz was threshing. Boaz was threshing, but she came in and advised by whom?
Naomi,
her Jewish mother-in-law, because Naomi is looking for security and rest for Ruth. And she advises that she goes to meet Boaz in the threshing floor. It's the end of the barley harvest, the end of the wheat harvest. I'm framing a time frame, I hope. And she is going to propose marriage. Okay, Boaz represents
Jesus.
Naomi represents
Israel.
Ruth represents Gentiles. Okay, and so there she is in being secure in the at the threshing floor, going to propose to her intended bridegroom, the bride, and proposing to the intended bridegroom. And it's in the time of Judges, where all around them, what's taking place? Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Anarchy. Okay. So, and we still have to fill in some gaps here that I'm leaving. But there she was with him. And Boaz's response is, and this is back in chapter 3, starting in verse 11, if you have your Bibles and just want to turn to it, it's very easy to turn back to Ruth 4 from Ruth 3. Okay. I will do for you all that you request, Boaz says to Ruth in chapter 3, verse 11. Now, verse 12, it is true that I am a close relative. That meant that he was a kinsman, and he could be the family redeemer. But, he says, however, there is a relative closer than I. The closer relative would be the kinsman redeemer for the family. Verse 13, stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. No hanky-panky, nothing like that. You know, and it's not a cliffhanger. I always used to say, this is a cliffhanger. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because back in chapter 3, when Ruth comes to Naomi with the sign from Boaz, we're thinking it's 6 grains, and she says to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter, until it is finished. I'm emphasizing certain words, okay? What's the matter? What is the matter? What's the matter that Naomi's talking about? What does he have to conclude, Al?
The lineage of Kinsman Redeemer, who's in line.
Okay, yes.
He has to buy the land.
And hit. Okay. And basically, can we say that he has their, Naomi and Ruth's, deepest need in mind? Redemption. Redemption. So, I mean, that is involved, that's for sure.
In current day Hebrew mindset, Jewish, I'm not even sure what word uses an adjective, is there an equivalent Kinsman Redeemer today? Anybody in that?
Wouldn't it be wonderful to find out? I was just telling somebody just a few minutes ago that I had talked to a rabbi of an ultra-Orthodox synagogue who I had signed up for a class on resurrection, okay, to the Jewish view of resurrection. And after I signed up and paid for it, then lo and behold, the phone rings. And I see on the display, Rabbi and his name. And I knew it was coming. And he said, I understand that you are, which did he bring up? He was reading a website, okay, that you teach Jewish roots Christianity or connecting the dots, blah, 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 discuss the Bible. And I said, yeah, I remember we talked last year and I was sharing that with you. Deadpan. And he kept, and then he said, it's not appropriate for you to attend this class. So there's where I'm going, Bobby. You can pull up stuff on the internet very easily about the Jewish view of this and that and et cetera, et cetera. But there's a book, and I've told you about this book before, it might be the Jewish Book of Why. It's a traditional Jewish book, and there's no uniform belief system in Judaism. But that, what you're referring to more is, well, it's from Scripture, but I was going to say it's a practice.
Is there an equivalent?
Yeah. I have not heard that at all. That's not saying that there isn't an equivalent, because, too, if you've never seen the movie, it's a Hallmark movie, and it's called Loving Leah, or you could say Loving Leah, because that's her name in the picture. And it talks about the ultra-Orthodox going through this procedure when the brother-in-law will not marry the widow of his brother, okay? So that was set in Brooklyn. And anything like that, I guess it would be good to look at Brooklyn first to see what's happening on the side of the ultra-Orthodox. But, okay. But no cliffhanger, because Naomi was resting in the promise from Boaz. Diane?
I just want to make a comment. Going through this is just so interesting. It's just the heart of God for his people and taking care of women in such a detailed way, it just gives me such a sense of security in the Lord.
That's beautiful, yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's like God has thought of every single detail in every instance, because women were so vulnerable and mm-hmm. they're totally dependent on having a husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on an emotional, physical level, and all levels, really, spiritual and physical,
yeah.
It is just very providing security through the Lord and a
yeah.
type of rest. I mean, obviously, they're going through a lot of turmoil,
mm-hmm.
but going through this process. But in the end, it's kind of like it's all sewed up. And
yeah, because God reveals and he provides.
Amen.
And there are so many in different belief systems, and could be ultra-Orthodox, too, on the Jewish side, that women wouldn't have such a focus, wouldn't be such a focus. Many do. I mean, when I get emails from that synagogue and I see the people who are listed for prayer, you know, a lot of women. But I try to be quick to tell the Jewish people that God has put into my life that, wow, in Jesus' entourage, there were many women. And look at Jesus' genealogy in the book of Matthew. Four women are noted, and some of them not being Jewish, too, majority. And so it's the heart of God, you know. And that's very central to what we're talking about in the book of Ruth, as far as being a picture of the entire Bible. And I'm telling you, a picture of the entire Bible, it's important to take note of and then study in light of that. Richard.
It looks like Boaz had an affection for Ruth, and he wanted to get this negotiation done so he could be the kinsman redeemer. And then in Isaiah 62:5, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. So
mm-hmm.
That too.
Yeah.
So there's real emotions on God's side too.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There are, definitely. And we're made in the image of God with intellect, will, right? And intellect, will, and emotions. What you were just talking about. Okay, Ruth 4:1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And we said before the gate was a place of government for the village. You know, there were gates at each village and there were officials in the gate, and Boaz appears to be one of them. And it's the end of the barley and wheat harvest. It had been threshed, but he left the results of the threshing, the good grain, because Ruth and Boaz were the priority, his highest priority. And here they were. He went up to the gate. He had authority, and he wanted to settle, like Richard said, the matter with the closer redeemer. And so he went in public to do so. Important. And Boaz, in the book of Ruth, represents Jesus. Boaz went in the public sphere to proclaim what was going on and to settle the matter and to see that it was finished. Jesus paid the debt that mankind owed, that we owed, and he paid that debt in public on the cross for all to see. Okay, Ruth 1 again, Boaz, Ruth 4:1. Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold! Behold, I think, David, you had said a couple months ago that has an element of surprise, right? And it's also a word that means get fixated on, gaze, okay? Behold, who appears? Now, this text says the close relative, okay, of whom Boaz had spoken came by. Well, that's such a coincidence, isn't it? No. Who's orchestrating? God, right, okay. And Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. And are you observing anything? Okay, what are you observing?
Cordiality
and
negotiations.
Oh, okay, it's starting.
Yeah. Boaz is got an objective, and he has to guide this other close relative.
Mm-hmm.
Through the negotiation.
Okay. Richard.
The word of God will not allow the name of this person. He's not honorable to lose a sandal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not even going to be credited with his name.
Right.
Scripture.
And that's where I was going. First of all, come. The word come, what does that mean? What's it used for? That word come in the Hebrew means either woe, like W-O-E, W-O-E, or alas. Woe is like, you know what, you're going to be admonished, right? You're going to have your hand slapped. Alas is a cry of grief or despair. So, but then, to back up what Richard's saying, Boaz calls him friend. Friend, what does that mean? In Hebrew, the word friend is Peloni Almoni. Okay, that's a lot of letters for friend. But it's Peloni Almoni, and it means so-and-so. That's what it means, so-and-so.
Does this not mean that Boaz is a relative of this fellow too?
Yes, it seems
be,
so.
Right?
Yeah, it would have to be,
okay.
Exactly. So-and-so, and it could also mean a certain one. And it sounds not very friendly. It doesn't sound positive. The guy has no name, you know, just like Richard said. And going further, so-and-so, a certain one, sat down. And then verses 3 and 4, then Boaz said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold a piece of land which belonged to our brother. Okay, there you go. But there it says it. And I thought to inform you. Now, me reading this, because it's always good to make observations, I thought to inform you, This is the closer relative.
I know.
This is the kinsman redeemer. Shouldn't he be there for his family? Shouldn't he know these things? But doesn't seem that this guy is sort of out to lunch, Tiffany.
Just a quick question. This is Naomi's land, right?
Yes, because it was her husband's, yes.
Okay, so why is Ruth the one up for marriage? Why wouldn't it be Naomi?
Interesting question. That's a very important question to ask, all right? And we're going to see as it unfolds, okay? I don't want to say just right now, okay? But just think of, all right, just think of God's plan of redemption. This is his plan of redemption. Okay, this is an answer, but it still has to fill in the blanks. This is God's plan of redemption that we are seeing in the book of Ruth for both Jew and Gentile. Okay? So if Boaz took care of the land for Naomi and married Naomi, bye-bye, Ruth. You know, bye-bye, Gentile.
So he marries Ruth. Then he automatically, whoever the redeemer ends up being.
Right.
Then he automatically inherits taking care of Naomi as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Because we see that she's restored at the end. Okay. Cutting to the chase because we have a lot to say and not much time. Okay. But that's okay. Maybe we'll spill into next week. It depends. It depends. Because I hope you've been pondering. I hope you remember the question that I asked you last week to ponder upon. What was that question?
Who is such and such?
Who is such and such, so and so, a certain one, right, okay. So this kinsman redeemer is the key player in the matters of redemption, but this guy, like I said, out to lunch. So what Boaz says then in verse 4, the second part of verse 4, he's telling his brother, I thought to inform you that, you know, Naomi sold a piece of land, and because she was so much in debt, and now she doesn't have it. So he says to his brother, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of the people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And the close relative says, I will redeem it. No question about it. I will redeem it. So what are we talking about at this point? What is Boaz talking to his brother about to redeem what part of this equation?
Just the land.
Just the land. He's just talking to him about the land. But Ruth is got a problem too. She's destitute as well. So why didn't Boaz mention Ruth at this point? He wanted to know what his brother was really fixated on. Okay, well, it comes up too. Okay, so then verse 5, and here it comes. Boaz said to the closer relative, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess. Isn't it so funny that he specifies Ruth, not just Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess. That's like, you know, a negative statement. Yeah. She's not only a Gentile, she's from Moab, our enemy. The wife of the dead. And then he adds this, to perpetuate the name of the dead. Not to, you know, benefit you so much, my brother, but to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. Because the son that would be born would be the one who carries the name of Ruth's first husband, okay? And the land most likely would be kept for him. And the close relative said in verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You, he's talking to Boaz, redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Can you imagine how Boaz felt? Like his heart leapt for joy, right? Okay. And the word ruin in the Hebrew means to corrupt, to destroy, to spoil. And that's, you might say, kind of dramatic. But you know what? Isn't redemption dramatic? Yeah. So the destruction of it, whoa. You know, it's Satan can have that power that he's been given by God, but he's not all powerful. Our God is almighty. And redemption leads to our deliverance, our freedom, and our life. And redemption always involves a cost, a sacrifice. Sharon?
I just have a comment. In verse 4, he says, I will redeem it.
And about the land, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in verse 6, he says, I cannot redeem it.
Right. So
it's contradictory.
Well, because he didn't know. See, again, he had to be informed. It's like, oh my gosh, what's on his resume? But he could redeem the land, but when he found out Ruth was part of the bargain, which he should have known, he said, I can't redeem it.
So it had to do with Ruth.
Yeah, yeah.
When he first he said he could.
And right.
And that she was involved, he said, I can't.
Right. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Richard, I was going to call you Ruth.
Yeah. What's in the allegory, but Naomi, it was impossible for her to bear children at this point.
That's right. That's another big factor of it, too. Yeah, because she says that in the first chapter. If I had sons, you know, in my womb, etc.
It was impossible for Sarah to have children.
And that's true, too. And when we get into 1 Samuel, maybe next week, hopefully next week, Hannah, you know, cried out to God for children because she couldn't conceive. Okay, so no grace is being extended by so-and-so. But there is no explanation, to your point, Sharon, in the text as to why marrying Ruth would destroy his inheritance. Could be that he was married, you know, and that would really, according to God's plan, you know, from found in Genesis, the husband would leave his parents and cling to his wife, and the two would become one. That's God's pattern.
Maybe it's because she was a Moabite.
It could be. He could have been prejudiced in that way, and he could have been thinking, too, that, well, God has spoken out against our marrying, you know, the Ites, etc., and the Moabites aren't allowed.
He changed his mind pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But he's not thinking grace. And you know what? For our benefit, we're not seeing grace being extended. And if we're subtitling it, and this is my subtitle, you don't find this in verse in the book of Ruth, but what the law didn't allow, God's grace allowed. All right?
You know what John MacArthur had to say
about
this?
Maybe.
Okay.
Oh, I have a MacArthur study Bible, so.
I will jeopardize my own inheritance. He was unwilling to have the family portfolio split between his existing children and the potential offsprings of a union with Ruth.
Right. But see, it still doesn't say. It does. The text doesn't. The Bible doesn't say. He just put it as you did. You want to read that verse again? You're reading the note.
I'm reading the note.
But read the verse.
The closest relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself because...
Unless I ruin my own inheritance.
I would jeopardize my own inheritance.
Yeah, so all of that, you know, what that might mean. Okay, but down, you know, bottom line, he says no. Verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. And Michelle, you might have talked about this, the sandal. Did you mention sandal before? Somebody mentioned sandal. Okay, to confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Very much so in thinking of the land, because when land was exchanged, then you took off the sandal and gave it to the person that it was going to, the land was going to, because you would walk off the land, okay? You would walk through the land. So, therefore, I'm going a little bit quicker because we need to. Therefore, verse 8, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his own sandal, so-and-so did, and confirmed that transfer of his right as the closer relative, the kinsman, the family's kinsman redeemer, to the next relative in line. I'm saying that, again, emphasizing some words, to Boaz. So for your, we're not going to read it right now because there is no time, but just jot down Deuteronomy 25 verses 5 to 10 because it goes through Deuteronomy 25 verses 5 to 10 because it really should have been Ruth that went up to the gate according to what we read in the Torah in Deuteronomy 25. It should have been Ruth that would have spit in this so-and-so's face for not taking on that obligation, right? But she didn't. she didn't hear more grace extended, because I really see the protection that Boaz is displaying. He loves Ruth. He wants to protect her. He doesn't want her to succumb to any hatred that might have, you know, ensued at that gate. Let's look at where do I want to go? Okay, but think of really what Jesus has done for us. I do want to highlight that, of course, what he took on himself when he went to the cross for us in public. Now, some of you might be saying that, well, levirate marriage appears to be considered as a duty, right? Doesn't it say it in that Deuteronomy 25? It's a duty. If the person did not take on that obligation to marry the widow, then that was a big if. He could do it or not do it. It wasn't an understanding that he would do. But here's where I want to go with that. There was severe rebuke, you know, spitting in the face, etc., etc., but also the closer relative was shamed. Does anyone have Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10 open? Because I don't want to go and look for it now. But Beth, do you want to read verse 10?
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him that hath his she loosed.
Oh, okay, but doesn't it say anything about shame there? Let me see.
9 does. It's that,
okay.
Then shall his brother's wife come to him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's
house. Okay, so there was a lot of shame, you know. There was like, the guy could be walking around with a t-shirt saying that from then on.
Every episode, see, watching lovingly if it ever comes on.
Yeah, that's what I had mentioned.
Yeah, I know you said that, but I'm re-emphasizing it because there's just so much there that really expounds a contemporary view of what we're looking at.
And with everything that we have on television, except in the Wilson house, that's another story, you can pull up Loving Leah, Hallmark film real easily. Okay, now here's the question. Who is this closer relative? Pat mentioned something the other day, and I don't know where Pat is. It makes me nervous. Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you what she mentioned if you don't remember. So who do you think the closer relative is? Representing who the closer relative represents.
A lot.
Well,
we talked about the Holy Spirit.
Somebody said something first, and then.
Well, is that Lucifer then? Because he had.
Wait a minute. Okay, somebody said the law. Didn't somebody say the law? Okay. Because that's what Pat mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Beth, you said the Holy Spirit.
But we had spoken about that.
I don't remember us speaking about that. Okay. Huh?
Not last week.
Maybe we did, but I'm not remembering. Oh no. And Richard, Lucifer.
Yeah, before Jesus paid the redemption price, he had the right to stuff.
I gotta write this down before Jesus paid redemption price. Okay. Lucifer had the right because he's the god of this world. I have to write down there. Right? Is that what you mean?
Because he showed the kingdom to Jesus, like he had the right to do that.
Right.
But then Jesus paid the redemption price.
Right.
And then no longer has the right.
That's what you were saying.
That was a different thought too, like that Jesus had to overcome Satan in order to be able to redeem.
Yeah.
And then I also had thought, and after we did, I was frustrated with myself for not thinking deeper.
Okay. Because that's what Michelle had come up with first.
And then my second thought had been John the Baptist, but after we started talking today, I got frustrated with myself. But the reason I had thought that is because he kind of is a closer relative in a way, just genealogy kind of. And he like led the way for Jesus to come, and then there's that whole sandal thing, like where he introduced Jesus, and then he did say, like, I'm not your redeemer, I'm not Elijah, and I
I can't redeem you. Like, Jesus is the one that will, and I can't even untie his sandal. So there was kind of that.
Oh, whole, whoa, okay.
You know, that whole sandal
okay.
picture.
So
okay.
Are you saying John the Baptist?
That's a suggestion.
It, as a suggestion, but then, you know, as we started talking to Dave, and I was mad at myself.
Oh no! Don't get mad. Because
why didn't I get on the letter Bible and look at some of those words?
No, you guys are thinking it's good. It's good. I had never heard of John the Baptist before. Actually, I had never heard of the Holy Spirit either.
I just got that from the discussion either last week.
I know what I was talking about. What you're latching on to, the servant doesn't have a name,
okay.
And then I was talking about John 16. Where Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, I'm sending you the comforter of the Holy Spirit, who's going to direct all attention to me. Got it. Okay.
That's
it. Okay. Al?
I think it's possible that it's regarding the Mosaic covenant that the rabbis diluted so that the people had to obey the law, and all that they were interested in was material stuff and keeping the law that was their law, which is like this guy and this other guy, the relative, first in line,
okay.
that didn't accept it on God's terms, but he would do it on his own terms.
Okay, so are you saying that so-and-so represents the religious leadership?
Yes.
Okay. That's a new one, too. I mean, that, you know, I'm sure that we have 100 guesses out there. Okay. Leadership. Okay. So, Richard.
To help his point.
Al.
There's a part in Matthew where it talks about the vineyard being removed, the kingdom of God being removed from those high priests, and so they're not getting it. It's going to go to Jesus. But, I mean, just to emphasize that.
That's very important. That's an important passage, so it's going to go, that's where it's talking about, just real, because that came up this week, that's talking about faithful Jews and unfaithful Jews, because it doesn't go to, that's a big verse that taught, where some people say, well, that means that God's taking it, everything away from the Jews and it's going to the church. Did you realize that? That's a big replacement theology.
Verse are you talking about right now?
Right now, it's Matthew 21, and it's towards the end. It's the vineyard, parable of the vineyard. Okay, so what do you think? What do you think? Now, what do I think about the law? The law. We'll tackle that first, real fast. Close relative did not extend grace, right? The law can't save. And I'm going to give you verses, and it's in your handout anyway. It's in your handout starting on page 3, I do believe. Yeah. In Romans 3:20, it's right. It says the law cannot save, top of the page. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. No flesh will be declared righteous in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you're saying, yeah, that's why this could be the law. Wait. In 2 Corinthians 3:5-11, the law is called the ministry of death. Whoa, that doesn't sound positive, does it? Whoa. But we need to remember who gave the law to the people. Who gave the law to the people?
God
gave the law. And like a very important verse is Psalm 19:7. Do I have it even? Yeah, it is. It's right almost in the middle. The law of the Lord is perfect. I don't think this so-and-so is perfect, okay? Because the law will restore the soul. Because we can't keep the law. God is holy. We see who he is. And in Galatians 3, and I should have that there, 3:24, and at the end of one of the paragraphs, it says the law is our tutor, was our tutor to lead us to Jesus, all right? So, righteousness is not by the law, okay, but the law is our tutor to lead us to Jesus. But I have to say that I had read somewhere with that the law is the most universal, is the universal overarching interpretation of who so-and-so is. But man, I think this Psalm 19:7 just smacks that in the head. You know, the law is perfect. It restores the soul. So, and again, I had read that that so-and-so is represents Satan. And all I could think of with that when I had read it several years ago was, why would Boaz? But I understand what you two were saying, Richard and Michelle, about Jesus defeating Satan, and he had, Satan had the right, you know, so it makes more sense, because all I could think of was, Boaz is going to offer his, the one he loves, you know, the one he wants to redeem, God's love for us. We're thinking a lot about Diane as we go through this book of Ruth, to Satan. So that's what I was coming up with, that it can't be Satan. But who, I don't know, I have so many notes in here, and I mean, time is getting closer.
Well, just representative of, I don't know if I'm going off in a crazy direction, but just representative of man in general.
Bingo! That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, because who are we closest to?
Ourselves.
Ourselves, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that this is right. You know, there's no little addendum in the Book of Ruth.
And it shows the shortcomings, you know, of mankind.
Yeah.
And how man cannot save us, only God can.
Right.
We cannot be redeemed by man alone, only by God.
Yeah, yeah.
And wouldn't that be the religious, I think some of you wrote down religious.
Oh, leadership.
Leadership.
Kind of, I was thinking like the Sanhedrin, yeah, in a way,
which is,
you know,
man.
Like, yeah.
But I'm I'm suggesting all of mankind,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
for all
but
have sinned.
It's embodied in religious, well, it's not worship, leadership, because they did not, they refused, they could believe Jesus, they refused to believe him.
You know what it's related to, though, and I'm going to cut to the chase since we have like 7 minutes left. Related to our selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how so-and-so acted. Oh, I don't know these things. I mean, he didn't say that. There's no verse. But that Boaz had to inform him of what was going on because the closer Redeemer was wrapped up in himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So.
I mean, honestly, that would go all the way back to the garden. Because when the first sin, the first thing was them thinking they could save themselves. They had to cover themselves.
Like and the religious leadership.
So it's all about, you know, I'm saved by holy faith through grace, but then, oh, maybe there's that one thing I need to do to, you know, God did 98%, but I don't know, there might be that 2% that I need.
Yeah.
You know, I'll leave the tip. Like,
yeah, we, our mind goes there.
God is the things. There's something else we need to do, but He does all of it.
Right, right. Amen.
So it's pride.
It is. It's pride.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because we were saying religious leadership, but I think, like, in today's world, how people think, like, oh, if I do good, like, you know, like, if I, people think they're good and they do good things, and it's pride, so I don't need Jesus. I'm like,
right.
Because when you talk to someone, it's like, but I'm good.
Yeah.
And then it's like trying to convince them that they aren't. It's
right.
Like a huge insult.
And how good is good enough?
Yeah.
And then why did Jesus have to go to the cross then? I have a friend that I worked with years ago and was sharing with her, and she was really interested in learning more about Jesus, about God, Catholic background, okay? And when I told her, you know, just submit yourself, put your trust in him, and it's all God's work. And she said, oh no. She said, I have to do something. I have to do something. Those five words, it's just the death knell, isn't it? I have to do something.
Several of the Jewish friends over the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's they have to work as hard. It's your own like works that
right.
You.
Right. Because then I'll have a plaque or something somewhere. I'm afraid to say somewhere is. Okay. So that was good conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else want to say anything else?
Well, the religious leadership nearly killed Paul when he came back because they didn't want the Gentiles being witnessed to. They didn't want a supposed Gentile coming on.
Oh, and the Jerusalem Council.
So they hated the idea of Gentiles coming to faith in Christ. That's one reason why they wanted to kill Paul when he came into the temple toward the end of
Yeah, but since he was the apostle for the Gentiles, yeah. Okay, we really don't have time to go into the rest of it, so I'm going to give you a couple of other questions. Okay, two questions. Look at, oh, crumbs, you got the answer in the handout. Oh, well. So much.
I love the handout.
But let's see.
Write your questions on the back and try to figure it out on our own before we cheat.
Right. Yeah, real. Well, Bobby and I were talking about doing distributing the handout in a different way, but it's all there, right, for you to see. And it has to do with the baby being born to Obed, to Ruth and Boaz. And Obed will be, his name means servant. His name means worship. What, see, and going back to so-and-so, no name, right? Not worthy. One of you said not worthy to have a name. Richard, I think you had said not worthy to have a name. So, yeah, we are not worthy without Jesus. But look at all the other names that are mentioned in the book of Ruth. Okay. So that being said, Obed is, again, meaning worship, meaning to serve God. He is the father. He becomes the father of Jesse, and Jesse becomes the father of King David. And that's how we will bounce off into 1 and 2 Samuel 4. And 1 and 2 Kings, you know what? 1 week for all four. I gotta. Because of my... No, I have to because of the schedule.
That's a crime.
Well, oh my gosh.
There is so much in this book.
Yes, but there are highlights that we can bring up. There are biblical principles that really need to be brought up there, and that's where I'm going to go with that. Because we've got to get back onto Matthew, or else you can put flowers on my grave. Because the amount of study time has been rather massive this summer, and things that you don't even know about. Okay, so look at what, I'm trying to find the verse. Yeah, here it is. As the people, look at verses 11 to 12 in Ruth 4, and I have no idea where it is on the handout. And all the people who were at the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses, because of course they know that Boaz is going to take Ruth for his bride. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house, being Ruth, like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. Why? What does that all say? Okay. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Why is it saying that? Wow. May your house, this is the deeper one, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young man. I mean, from this young woman. Whoa. Wow. That's deep. That's deep. So think about that. If you can't, you know, you could put your hand out aside or like, I'm not in control of that. I don't have a little camera in your house. Is she looking at that handout? But I love to hear what we come up with, you know. And so do some digging about that. So who is Perez and why should their house, the house of Ruth and Boaz, be like the house of Perez? How many know who Perez is? Two.
Born to Tamar.
Huh?
No. One of the twins born to Tamar.
No, Perez was the...
It has to do with Tamar, okay? And Tamar's history in Genesis has to do with the Levirate marriage. Anyway, there's so much. Isn't there so much in this book of Ruth? And book of Ruth, again, it highlights Jesus... Our kinsman is the kinsman redeemer who has redeemed both Jew and Gentile for our worship and praise and service to God. That's how I would sum it up with the names. But it behooves us, I do believe, to check out. Again, the one regarding Rachel and Leah is not as deep as Perez. And Perez is really a good one to know to share with Jewish people. Okay, so excited?
Yes.
Yes.
David's great grandmother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's a Gentile. I love this. To share. Hey, you know what I mean? Say it nicely. You don't say, you know, na-na-na-na-na. Wish I can very easily do that, but I don't want to. Did you know that Ruth, the Gentile, the Moabitess, was the great-grandmother of King David, Jewish King David, the Gentile?
Oh,
I just love it. I love it. Tell your husband.
It'll be okay with him, but the rest of the family? Oh, my gosh.
But Boaz's dad, Salmon, married a prostitute.
Yeah, he married Rahab.
She was faithful. She was still a prostitute, too, because she had to, because she was still there in that city. But of course, she gave up that profession, I'm sure, immediately after. But
there is some, that's in Jesus' genealogy. Yeah. Wow.
There was some question, changing subject before the class, there was some question about whether or not that's Hebrew or shorthand.
Oh, that's shorthand. No. I can't write Hebrew.
Kathy still has her shorthand notes from college that she hasn't transcribed yet.
Guess how many years that was ago. That was. And I have an answer. Al asked about the Hebrew servants who came under another Hebrew, and they were told that they could leave after 6 years of service. And you probably found it. The answer to that question, they weren't slaves. They weren't, because it was the Gentiles who were the slaves. And it's in Exodus 21. Verses 21 and following. No. Exodus 21, verses 1 to 6. Okay, and it talks about the all, too. Okay, so, but I found that question fascinating, Al, from you last week, and I wanted to look it up. And then also Leviticus 25, verses 39 to 46 are noted as a, you know, cross-reference to that. So, indeed, slaves... regarding the people from the nations, and the Hebrews were servants. So, okay. Father, we thank you for how deep your word is. As Bobby always says, God, we pray that you would continue to give us a longing to understand, that you would give us skill in understanding your word. Father, that we might be joyful in you. In Jesus' name, amen.